Our scripture reading for this morning is recorded in St. Paul's letter to the congregation in Ephesus, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 15th verse. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen." One night as I was beginning an adult instruction class at a congregation I was serving, a young woman who had grown up in the church, had been confirmed there, was now in about her mid-20s, suddenly showed up and wanted to take the class. I said, "Oh, great, nice to have you here." And she sat in on the class that night. And afterwards, I was just talking with her and I said, "Well, you got confirmed years ago. Why are you here taking adult instruction? It's great, but why are you here?" And she went on to explain that she had gone away to a university, and while at that university, she had a very influential teacher who started to get her to question her faith, getting her to question Scripture, to such an extent that, according to her own words, she lost her faith and walked away from Christ and from worship. And she was now trying to regain what had been lost. And she said this about the teacher. She said, "He was such a nice teacher, and I really didn't realize at the time what was happening." This summer, I was watching a documentary on education on PBS. Yes, that's how boring my life is. And they were interviewing a philosopher, Harvard-trained philosopher, by the name of Dr. Daniel Clement Dennett, and apparently is considered one of the leading educators in the United States, or one of the driving factors to that in the United States. And he had made some comments that caused me to do some research on him and dig a little bit further on him and things that he stood for. And I found this quotation by him. If this doesn't send chills up your spine, I don't know what does. And this is directed at those like you who someday hope to teach your children about Christ and Scripture and the teachings of Scripture. Listen to what he says. "We will describe your teachings as the spreading of falsehoods and will attempt to demonstrate this to your children at our earliest opportunity." There are forces out there in the world that obviously hate Christ and want to destroy this precious faith that God has given us. And we need to understand something about spiritual matters. There is no neutrality. There is not such a thing as neutrality. You're either on one side or the other in this battle. Once we have been blessed with the gift of faith to trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, knowing that in Him our sins are fully forgiven, knowing that in Him alone we are clothed as righteous before God and bound for the new Jerusalem that is above, now, in Him that we are heavenly citizens, we need to understand that where Christ is, there the cross will follow. Those who hold on to Him by faith must expect the brunt of the world's attacks and ridicule. Dr. Walther said it like this: "As soon as a person sides with the Lord Jesus Christ, he breaks his peace with the world and Satan, and they arm themselves to conquer and reclaim the soul that has escaped from them. As soon as a person overcomes his evil heart through Christ's grace, he enters a battle with evil days." So this is why St. Paul is giving us this very harsh warning. It's now a battle that you're going to be engaged in the rest of your life. And these three enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, are going to try to get at us and try to get at this faith from every possible little nook and cranny and angle that they can. And we just need to go into this battle with our eyes open. Last week I was talking with a friend about a house years ago up in the Twin Cities that had been infested with snakes. And it caused me to go online and look to see if I could find it. I didn't find that one, but I found one in Idaho that they just discovered this summer, a similar problem. A house that somebody had purchased, and apparently there was such a nest of snakes in that house, and they would crawl up inside of the walls and down into the basement. The people would wake up at night with snakes in their bed, if you can imagine. Yeah, and they were climbing the walls in the kitchen. Can you just imagine how awful that was? And they had tried in every way they could to exterminate these snakes and to get rid of them, but the family finally realized they had to sell the house and move. Good luck to the new owners. We need to understand that those in the evil realm, the devil, the world, and our flesh, are going to try to find any way possible to get at us and to destroy this wonderful gift of faith that we have been given. Notice St. Paul's warning. He says, walk circumspectly. That means to be looking around as you're walking. Some translate simply wisely. The word here is interesting. There's some great Greek words in this, but one that's really interesting is a word that is the root word for an acrobat. Think how carefully an acrobat walks when he's on the tightrope. Walk so carefully as you go through this life. I think about a soldier who's in battle and he's in an enemy land, an enemy territory. And as he now slowly has to walk through that city and go from house to house to root out the enemy, just think how carefully he has to look to make sure that he's safe, knowing that he could be attacked from any side. This is the type of image that Paul is using for us in our spiritual lives, not to just take things for granted. And at the same time, not to lose confidence in the wonderful word of Christ, the will of God, as he refers to here in our text. He also uses an interesting phrase. He says, redeeming the time. That's a puzzling phrase, redeeming the time. To use our time from the world in such a way that we don't fall back into the world's way of thinking. Martin Luther even said it this way, to paraphrase him, be willing to steal and rob time so that it will benefit your faith. Paul goes on, he says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What we're doing right here is one of the greatest things that God holds before us in this battle. Worship. Coming to hear the word, engaging in prayer and the precious gift of prayer, singing with each other, using the Psalms as a way to responsively encourage one another in our faith. Music has a tremendous way of taking the precious truths of Scripture and the hope of heaven and embedding that down into our hearts and memories through song. I've been at the bedside of many people on their deathbed, and you can just see the comfort that they get when they have some of those great hymns sung to them. I remember there was one lady used to teach here at Bethany, and I was at her bedside. She was in her mid-80s. And we had just sung to her, I'm but a stranger here, heaven is my home. And about 2 minutes later, she asked us to sing it again. She just wanted to hear it again. And even the simplest childlike hymns, Jesus loves me, this I know. Even that little childlike hymn that a 3-year-old could learn, probably a 2-year-old can learn, even in that hymn is the power to defeat the devil, the world, and our flesh. That's how amazing the kingdom of God is. The other thing, if you think about it, that Paul is encouraging us to do is simply congregate, to get together as fellow Christians and with fellow Christians, to strengthen each other. I remember seeing a pastor years ago talking to a group of Christian children, and he had one little boy come up, was probably 7 or 8 years old, and he handed him a pencil, and he said, I want you to break this. And the kid snapped it over his knee just like that. But then he handed him 20 pencils in a wad, and he said, hold these together, now try to break them. And of course he couldn't do it. And the point he was making is the strength that comes in numbers. When we stand and profess Christ and confess the creeds together, we are encouraging and emboldening each other as we go about this spiritual warfare. Typically, the world and the devil make their greatest inroads upon a Christian soul when he has somehow been isolated away from the Word of God and away from fellow believers. So don't stop doing what we're doing right here. What we possess by faith in Christ is just way too precious to lose. The Jerusalem of this world is a very dangerous and hostile battle zone that we must live in. So may we continue to seek the Jerusalem above, where this world's conflicts will all cease. Amen. Please rise. And we pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray you to protect me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen.